And welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulk. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And this is a special edition of Mercenary Musings Radio. Special, you ask? Why, it's always special when we get a chance to sit face-to-face across the table with the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulk. We are in downtown Toronto, and you guessed it, audience, we're having a beer. Mickey, how you been?
I've been well, Rob. I took a little hiatus from the business here, took a three-week vacation, but back in the saddle in downtown Toronto and ready to go.
Okay, what brings you to town?
I was invited to a seminar at Sprott for newsletter writers, and spent a day doing that. Going to have an appearance at BNN, and always look forward to that, and some meetings around town.
Okay, well, good stuff. You know, we are continuing our marathon stretch here on carbon. I believe this is, what, the eighth show that we've done on carbon this year, Mickey?
The way I counted, it's eight. We started back in May with an overview of carbon, our usual elemental overview. Then we talked about the various forms of carbon of economic importance, diamonds and graphite. Then some of the hydrocarbons, coal, natural gas, petroleum. We actually did two shows on petroleum. One on supply-demand fundamentals, one on production and geopolitics. And we're going to wrap it up today. We're going to wrap carbon up.
Yeah, this is a behemoth of a topic that you have us on. Mickey, today's agenda, the carbon cycle, greenhouse gases, climate change, and the politics that go with this story. And boy, oh boy, the politics in itself is a massive story. But let's begin with the carbon cycle.
Well, the carbon cycle is the basis of all life on Earth, or the chemical basis. And it basically deals with the exchange of carbon between the biosphere, the pedosphere, which would be soils essentially, the geosphere, rocks, the hydrosphere, which would be the oceans, and the atmosphere, as we all know what that one means.
Too much of it is not a good thing, some people tell us, but like you said, too little is the bad thing. I mean, we need greenhouse gases, we need, to basically exist, don't we?
Well, the carbon cycle is the basis of all life, so this interchange between these various spheres is what enables life to be sustained on the Earth. So it basically starts with photosynthesis by plants, both terrestrial and in the ocean, and they basically convert CO2 through photosynthesis, and they take up CO2 and they transpire or respire oxygen. So that becomes the source of oxygen in our atmosphere and the source of all animal life, which take in oxygen and respire CO2. So this is a monumental exchange in terms of the billions of tons per year. Recently, or let's say since the Industrial Revolution, with the burning of fossil fuels, there has been an additional contribution of CO2, especially, to the atmosphere. CO2 is viewed as somewhat of a greenhouse gas, meaning it forms an insulating layer and causes temperatures to rise, much like a greenhouse. That's somewhat debatable as to its efficacy as a greenhouse gas. The real greenhouse gas is another hydrocarbon called methane, which is essentially natural gas, and we've talked about that, CH4. But carbon's a really interesting element. In review, it forms over 10 million compounds and essential elements are carbon and hydrogen, but then you add oxygen and sulfur and nitrogen and phosphorus in various amounts, and that's what leads to complex hydrocarbons, amino acids, proteins, which are the precursors to life on the planet.
Where do you sit in this whole issue of the environmental consequences of greenhouse gases and the amount that's out there right now?
Well, I think it's debatable. If man's burning of fossil fuels is making a substantial contribution to the warming of the planet. There's no doubt the planet's warming, at least over the last couple of hundred years. But if you look in the period during the Middle Ages, say from 1300 to even into 1850, there was a little an event called the Little Ice Age, where the Earth actually cooled significantly. So there's a debate going on, or there should be a debate going on, that is trying to address this situation. But what's really happened is it's become politicized. And remember, it used to be global warming. Now it's, that wasn't a good term, because it's debatable always if the Earth's warming. For instance, the Arctic ice sheet right now is shrinking, but the Antarctic ice sheet is growing at a much faster rate. So the net result is we've got more ice on the planet. But since it's been politicized, the debate is over, according to Obama. The climate, this is a direct quote, the climate debate is over, is settled. Climate change is a fact. Well, one of the great pundits in the U.S., George Will, comes back and says, when a politician says a scientific debate is over, it means it's raging and he's losing it. And you can make that case. But we've entered into this phase where people that question the dogma, and I think it is dogma, there are various climate models that will show various things. People that question the dogma as perhaps even a pseudoscience are called deniers, and if you're a denier, you're not a good guy. So, you know, so my opinion is we need to keep the debate open. The other debate is the planet is warming, appears to be warming for the last 100 years, accelerated in the last 20 to 30 years.
Yeah, but how can they forecast what the world's going to be like in 50, 100 years from now when we can't get an accurate five-day forecast?
Well, that's a very good point. If anybody watches your local weatherman, realizes that his 5 to 7 day forecast is also often wrong and doesn't really hold water. The weather scientists predicted last year in 2013 one of the worst hurricane seasons ever. We had like the second least number of hurricanes since we've been tracking it over 100 years. There's a great controversy going on and debate right now whether we're going to have an El Nino this year, and they go back and forth. Yes, we're having an El Nino. Oh, it's weakened, you know, and the latest thing is this week it came out, well, it's strengthening again. So my question would be, how can you, and this is all based on computer modeling, how can you trust a computer model that projects 50 to 100 years of warming Earth temperatures when the weatherman can't predict the weather consistently on a seven-day basis, and midterm climatologists can't predict a hurricane season? So it seems nonsensical to me. You know, these computer models are very good at projecting the latest data out to the future, but they have no ability to project changes in trends or reversals in trends. If you remember in the early 70s, well, actually, from 1945 to 1970, 72, the world actually got cooler. And the great concern in the early 70s, at the beginning of the environmental movement, was the coming ice age. And that was the dogma then.
Right.
Now the dogma is no longer global warming, climate change, which takes in everything.
Okay, well, the dogma, as you put it, Mickey, over the years has resulted in countless gatherings of political leaders, a number of very high-profile so-called agreements between different countries and industries to reduce emissions of greenhouse gases. Has there ever been a single goal that's been accomplished or a single target that's been met along the way? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. You know, there were hundreds of thousands of people. I heard 300,000 protested in New York over the weekend, and And you had Al Gore, who is championed this cause after he invented the internet. Then he became an environmental scientist or an environmental politician. He was marching in lockstep with a bunch of other, let's call them progressive politicians in New York. And he flew in his own private jet.
That's a good way of reducing emissions.
And as people were being arrested for not moving off of Wall Street, he got into his Chevy Suburban and was driven away.
Not exactly a fuel-efficient vehicle.
Yeah, exactly. What I find is a bunch of disingenuous political diatribe about this. You know, and even if it is eventually shown that man caused
the warming,
fossil fuel burning is a major contributor to the world's global warming, I would submit it's a natural fluctuation. We're coming out of an ice age. The question becomes, what do we do about it? And
what do we do about it? Is there an alternative that you could see out there that would kind of...
Let's get on, before we go to my suggestion of an alternative, let's go to what's happened. And what has happened is we have put in regulations in North America to cut... A lot of it has to do with burning of coal. Put in regulations which cleans up some of our coal and shutting down older coal plants. But what are we converting to? Natural gas, which produces methane versus CO2, and methane is the real greenhouse gas. The other thing we're doing is we still have 1,200 power plants being built worldwide, coal-fired power plants. Two-thirds of those are in India and China. And the U.S. is, or the U.N. is subsidizing a number of those new coal-fired power plants. So what we're doing is we're trying to trade our carbon emissions in North America and cut those down and accept them from Eastern Asia, where the real growth is coming. You know, the world's got 7.2 billion people. By 2050, there'll be 9.5 billion people. Those people have to be fed. So my point is, if the Earth is warming, it will allow more food production.
It will certainly expand the growing season here in Canada.
Yeah, and higher CO2 levels will result in more plant life on the planet. So maybe global warming, if it turns out that the Earth is going to continue to warm, is not a bad thing. But we do not have the will to stop it. We do not have the means. If it is caused by fossil fuel burning, we do not have the means. Well, let me put it this way. We do not have the will nor the means to reduce our carbon emissions worldwide significantly. Otherwise, people are going to die of starvation and freeze in the dark.
Okay. Let's get back to your alternative, your suggestion. Away from fossil burning fuels, what's a cleaner way of doing things?
Well, it's obviously nuclear energy. Uranium is the cleanest burning fuel on the planet. It essentially emits no CO2 and no methane. But we have to have the will to build nuclear power plants. We do not have any other source of significant baseload electricity anywhere in the world. We've dammed most of the rivers. Renewables are not baseload electricity. The sun doesn't shine 24 hours a day. It shines 12 hours a day, and the wind doesn't blow. Even in the windiest places on the planet where we could put wind farms, it doesn't blow. And we increasingly see environmental opposition to solar and wind energy. So it's a conundrum that is not easily solved, but appears to me if the world is going to get warmer, we're just going to have to live with it.
Okay, nice way to close the door, I think, on our extensive focus on carbon, Mickey. We're going to do it all over again shortly, and what do you want to talk about?
Well, we're going to address the state of commodities, which have taken quite a dive over the last month, and how that's affected the junior resource market. And then the show after that, we're going to do a review of a subject I just talked about, which is uranium. And we're going to get, there's been the one commodity that has shown over the last couple of months is uranium. It's about time.
Yeah, you look at a chart of that thing, boy, oh boy, that has seen a sharp spike higher. I don't think some of the stocks have followed suit either, so a good topic to discuss. Great stuff, Mickey. We'll come back to this very same establishment and get you next time.
Okay, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulte, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.